Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, it'll be different, just wonderful to have all of you tuning in with this, by the audio streaming Midway 1548 in Satellite Islam. And, you know, we have lots of new listeners coming in. We welcome you as well. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the number to dial us after the news break would be 854-1548. Looking out the windows of Radio Islam, beautiful skies, blue skies. We're truly, truly blessed. And I'm not too sure if I'm the only one, but I find that the weather's quite topsy-turvy. You know, the morning sometimes brilliant, the day brilliantly hot, and then suddenly we have this gust of cold wind and we're all looking for jackets, and then, you know, come the morning, blessed, alhamdulillah, you know, we're blessed and we have beautiful weather once again. So is it part of climate change, I'm not sure, it's, you know, warming and cold, but it's not only the warm, it's the cold as well, so I'm not even sure how to read all that, but nevertheless, we are truly, truly blessed, and we are so fortunate that we have shelter, we have food, we have all these, necessities that makes our lives so much easier, and how it goes out to those that are less fortunate than us. Now, this morning we've got a wonderful guest, you know, someone that we've been trying to get, and he's going to share so much information with us, and that is Louis van Asbach. Now, Louis comes from a wonderful environment and nursery called Duenholm Nursery. To those of you who don't know, you know, it's very much on the edges or, you know, in the fringes of the city, but in the city as well, beautiful, beautiful setting. And I've been there on two occasions. I must say, it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience to be out there and to see what he's done. Now, Louis comes and he's going to share with us information with herbs. But just before we continue, a word of caution that whatever we're going to be discussing this morning, you need to check with your medical practitioner before you embark on using any of these herbs, because we're talking herbs for healing and how to get the best, you know, for a holistic lifestyle. That's what we're looking about. So it's not just using an herb now and then, but for a holistic health lifestyle. And Louis is going to help unravel some of this. We'll talk about some herbs that he has, and he's got lots of other things that he can, lots of other ideas that he's going to share with us. Hi, good morning, Louis.
Hi, morning, Ismail. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What's the weather like your side of the world? Outside, you know, sometimes it gets very hot and then very cold and then hot and cold. I'm not sure. How do you read this weather, the fluctuations?
Yeah, you know, at the moment we are definitely experiencing a very odd situation. I mean, last week we had severe heat conditions battling to water all the plants, and then yesterday beautiful, cool and cloudy. So yes, it is a challenge at the moment. But I do believe that we're also part of a natural process and natural cycles that is taking place over many years of cycles. So I think sometimes we have to put that in context as well and just see the bigger picture as well.
Well, I think, you know, the problem is we have such short memory, so we've forgotten what has happened. Yes. And in the cycle, we don't understand the cycles. But I think what you've alluded to is so true, that these are perhaps part of natural cycles, and we've got to understand all of that. Now, Louis, you've got into a very, very, you know, fantastic environment. Tell us about yourself. How do you get into this world of nursery and plants and so forth?
Well, I was very blessed to grown up with parents that absolutely loved gardening. So from a natural point of view, I had my little spade and fork, and we're always busy in the garden, had my own little greenhouse growing and propagating plants and seeds. So that was a natural progression for me. And actually, when I started studying, I wanted to become a vet. So my first year at varsity, I was very keen to to do veterinary science. But then after the first year of, you know, working in a practice and doing injections and all kinds of other activities, I thought, no, gosh, I can't do it. I love animals, but I can't do this for the rest of my life. And so I decided to make my hobby and my passion my career. And that is how I then changed into horticulture and specializing in ornamental horticulture. And as part of that world, I always had an interest in herbs, because they always fascinated me in terms of just so much more than a flower or a pretty little plant, but something that we actually touch, that we can eat, that we can nourish from, that can benefit us. And that is how I became then more and more involved in herbs. And through a personal problem with eczema and severe eczema condition, I actually had to search more for herbal remedies and cured and find, you know, developed a cure for eczema in treatment of eczema through herbal remedies. So by applying it to myself, I ventured more deeply into this world and experiencing the benefits of it.
Thank you very much. You know, I must say to that many a time when we speak to people coming in from this environment of horticulture and so forth, it seems, you know, they've been influenced by parents, either father, mother was involved and so forth, and that is how people get in. So the environment is not strange to you. You've grown up with this particular in this particular environment, and you know, like you said, it was a natural progression. Whilst you may have gone off for a while and did veterinary science, but that wasn't where your passion is, and you came back, and then another condition that made you study further. Now, you know, herbs are a very fascinating study on their own. They, you know, look like plants. Many of the times we do not even know that's a herb or don't even know its uses because, you know, we have both medicinal and culinary. Now, within Southern Africa, not only South Africa, but Southern Africa, we've got a rich history of the indigenous people using the natural, you know, plant and herbs for lots of uses. Have you been able to study for, you know, that aspect as well?
Yes, definitely, and that is part of a range of herbs that we always try to educate people on, of the rich, you know, indigenous herbs of South Africa and Southern Africa. And the interesting thing is that when you look at many houseplants that you actually, like acapanthus and scabiosus, colbachias, those are familiar things that people actually grow in their gardens. But when you look at the deeper application, and I must say these things must only be used by practitioners and under guidance, these are very potent herbs with very high potency to stabilize and influence the body. So we, because we grow up and we see these plants all the time, and that is the same with culinary herbs. We see them so regularly, we actually don't appreciate the medicinal value and the application of these herbs. So even at the nursery itself, we have a dedicated indigenous garden where we planted it up with all the different indigenous plants that's used for medicinal purposes. And most of the herbs in South Africa that is used mainly for very serious or deep cleansing activities in the body. So it's not something that you'll just use like a parsley or a celery as part of your diet. And I think that's why it is less known, because it is not so frequently given to people. There are other herbs that is, of course, fantastic, like your rose-scented geraniums, your citronella, for instance, that is a great insect repellent. I think about wilder also, for instance, that is one of the artemisia, that is a fantastic herb for bronchial infections and chest and coughs. And, you know, even at the moment, there's this funny cold going around in the middle of, you know, we're heading for summer, but a cold that really sits in the chest. And that is a very good warming herb that warms up the body to expel the mucus. So yes, we have some fantastic herbs and plants available in South Africa, and we hope to keep educating and making people aware of them.
Just on that point, we do have the pharmaceutical industries, you know, keeping keen eye on it. I know that, and sometimes we do have, you know, people, or not people, but countries, you know, from, for example, Australia and so forth, wanting an iron, and then we've almost lost, for example, and I always say the example, we've almost lost the rooibos, the rooibos tea, you know, because we were not sort of maybe ready enough, and some people want to patent that name, but it was very much indigenous to South Africa. So people know the value of these things, are aware of our medicinal herbs and aware of the potent effect it has, so then they take it away from us. Do you think there's a lot of that happening, or are we able now to contain all of that within South Africa?
What I'm happy to say is that there's a lot of projects that is developing now, especially in the Cape area, where people are licensed to companies to grow herbs, and then the community benefits from that project, and then it is processed. In South Africa, we have a fantastic herbal company down in the Cape that actually processes herbs for Germany. That is a very well-known her preferred country that really puts emphasis on herbal remedies and natural remedies. So they are at such a level to actually produce for the export market. So more and more that exploitation is stopping, I think, and we are taking more ownership. I think that is the important thing. We have to take ownership and say, but we want to grow the plants here because the potency will be so much higher in Africa and South Africa because that is their home country and that is their origin. So if we grow them in the areas where nature's put them, they will be so much higher in potency and people will benefit from that down the line in applying it for medicinal purposes. So that ownership and development and adding the value to the herb at the end of the day becomes our responsibility and we need to become stronger in that aspect.
So whilst you speak about ownership and taking over, I think that the important part is that we try and retain all of this within our own country and we develop. And like you said, that people don't exploit it and the communities that need it most are given the opportunity of working with this and also given the opportunity of, you know, within these communities we find that the standards of living are raised because they now have, you know, jobs and so forth. So I think it's a whole cycle that we're talking about. Now, the thing that you've mentioned, and I'm, you know, very much interested in that, is the process. For example, if these herbs are processed and sent to Germany or to any country, even in South Africa, are they as potent as the herb that we'd use in its natural form?
What is the interesting thing is that the herb in its complete form is the best. You cannot. That is the best way to use the herb. Whenever we process it, they process it according to certain markers. So they will, for instance, have an active ingredient that must be at a certain level. So when they process it, we tend to go towards the allopathic medicine situation to say that, you know, when we have an aspirin tablet, it must be that concentration of that alkaloid and so on and so on. And we lose, although we still have the benefits of the main properties of the plant and the person can benefit from that, we do lose certain phytochemicals in the process of preserving. It depends on how they preserve it. The company that I know in the Cape that preserves it as a tincture, they actually follow homeopathic the process of making homeopathic remedies, as well as moon cycles, as well as rhythms of the day. So it is a very organic methodology of processing in trying to keep the wholeness of the plant, and even on an energetic level, keeping that plant intact. So it depends completely on the company and the credibility of the company that is processing it. So we can't say that for all all herbal remedies. So if you're not sure, at the end of the day, growing your own in your own garden is the best way, and using it as whole as possible, because then you get all the phytonutrients in it. But if you can't, then the second best is to have a reputable product from a health store that can give you some information on it.
I think in what you spoke about, yes, so true, you know, that if those companies have, you know, the cycle, the natural cycle, and try to keep it as close to nature as possible, then that would be the, you know, would be second best. So having the first, having their natural plant, that would be, but in some instances we're not always able to get plants, and we're going to talk about some of these plants as we go along. And one that just comes to my mind, and I know the first time I was introduced to this was when I had come to do in home nurseries, was the stevia plant, you know, the sugar sweetener. Now when I get into the supermarkets, I find, you know, there's so many brands of stevia on the shelves, and you wonder now, is that the same as it would be in its natural form, or have they followed the same process? And you know, strange, because when we first bought the stevia, it was sort of not known, people not even aware that there was such a plant like the stevia and the sweetener. And now, like I said, just to every supermarket, never mind, you know, specialized stores, but supermarkets are storing them.
Can I just elaborate on that? And that is actually a very good example, because now when they process the stevia, they're only looking for the sweetness aspect. That is the only critical aspect, is what is the sweetener aspect of this end product at the end of the day. But when we look at the full plant and the benefits of the phytochemicals in that plant, we actually see that it contains a chemical called inulin that stimulates and improves the function of insulin that is already in the body. So that is very beneficial for diabetic people. Now, if you just take this processed stevia, just the powder, it doesn't have any of that benefit for the user at the end of the day. But if you take a fresh leaf or a dried leaf and you put that in a cup of tea or part of a food preparation, then you get those other chemicals and phytonutrients available to help the body to process and improve the body function. And for me, that is the magic and the pure beauty of using herbs, and that is to optimize the function of each individual body, because we're all different at the end of the day. And my liver cannot function better than genetically what I received from my parents. So the purpose of using that whole herb then is to optimize my own body to its best performance that I can do. But taking it from a processed, and especially the stevia that's going on the shelves at the moment, I mean, that has no medicinal properties whatsoever. It has a sweetening effect, and that's it. But if you want to really get the benefits and benefit your body, especially diabetic people that want to benefit from the sweetening aspect but get the other improvements of insulin properties, then you've got to go back to the plant and the green plant and the fresh leaf.
Thank you very much. I think that just clarified, because I know people are saying, well, fine, it's just easier for me to go to the supermarket and buy some stevia. Whilst I know that's the easy way out, and mom is actually laughing the other side. It's not about the easiness. It's about what the plant has. And the plant is not just composed of sweetener, but so many other elements to it. And I think that's important, and you've clarified. Now, before we go on to, the actual different herbs and so forth, your herb company goes under Healthy Living Herbs, is that correct?
That's correct. That is our brand name that we have in the nurseries and the garden centers, the Healthy Living Herbs. And we have it in 6-packs and 12 centimeters. So it's a whole range of herbs that people can grow in their own garden.
Now, before we go on to the medicine, I just want you to share with us, there's one or two of these herbs that have become very, very popular over the years. And, that could be because of home channels, so food cooking and so forth. And one of them is basil. Now, basil has come defined, that people are now looking for basil and want to use basil throughout the year. Whilst we know it's seasonal for pestes and eternal herbs, and so tell us something about basil as a, both as a culinary and as in how do we maximize that the basil.
I'm glad that you're asking about basil, because it is basil season now, and basil, you can have basil right through the year, but in different ways. You can have sweet basil, that is the most potent culinary sweet or basil, available from spring right through to late autumn. But then in winter, we have what we call perennial basils that actually are more hardy, that also give you the basil flavor and the fragrance. And it goes under sacred basil or tulsi, that is also, those are the perennial basils. Now, basil in itself, like we know, we can make beautiful pestos and it's lovely in salads. And again, people only focus on the taste of basil. But if you go and you start breaking down the benefits, medicinal properties of basil, you will be amazed about what it can do. For instance, digestion. It is a very good herb to ease digestion, and even situations like irritable bowel syndrome, diverticulitis, people can benefit because it has antispasmodic properties in it. Now, when you grow sweet basil in your own garden, Now, I think, you know, if I go on too long about this, you must just stop me.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, you're going to carry on. I just want to just alert our listeners. You know, the Arabic term for basil is Rayhan, and in India it's known as Tulsi and the sacred herb. I just want people to know exactly what we're talking about. So we have three names, but we're talking about basil, and then in the Arabic term it will be Rayhan, and the, you know, people also refer to it as the Tulsi, I beg your pardon, or the sacred. So now go ahead. No, please go ahead. Don't worry, because I think it's so important that we understand the, because it's not just, you know, Conry, I know there's a lot of medicinal, and it's excellent to use. Just tell us something about it.
So when it comes to, so first of all, it's very good for the digestive system, and it actually helps for the liver to function better and for the spleen to function better. So many times we tend to, especially when we go into spring, a lot of people say it's time to detox, we must detox, you know, and then I sometimes ask him, do you actually know what you're saying when you say detox? And all that we, because, you know, these days they advertise detoxing in a box that you can, you know, you know, put it in your bowl of cereal and you can detox. That is not what it is. Detoxing is about what I mentioned before, is optimizing the functioning of the organs in the body. That's why we become sluggish in winter, is because we hibernate, we don't move, we don't eat properly, and therefore the organs don't function optimally in the body. A detox then means that we are using either in the form of a tea, because basil tea is a lovely flavor. It has a beautiful aniseed taste and licorice taste. It's very uplifting for the mood. So if you're feeling a little bit dull, a cup of basil tea will uplift the mood and make you feel emotionally a little bit better. It's warming, therefore it opens up what we call the energies of the body. It opens it up and it increases the flow and circulation within the body. So by making basil as part of your diet, you can benefit from it on a daily basis. And the best way to benefit from it is to grow it in your own garden. And why do I say that? Because when we look at the digestive system, you need natural bacteria and you need enzymes in the body. It's basically the bioflora. And by growing herbs in your garden, you are picking up organic and natural bacteria that will be part of that plant foliage. So we don't spray any plants or herbs that we grow in the garden. We grow them organically. And we harvest those leaves and we have the natural, not pathogens, natural bacteria and microbes on that leaf. And when we wash it off, we don't use any harsh chemicals to clean it either. We just rinse it under water. That becomes part of our metabolism. So we are becoming part of our environment by taking from the soil and the air and the water. So from there, and I hope it makes sense to people why I'm saying this, is that the whole healing aspect is taking that responsibility, even growing your own food. Also, the aspect of detoxing is making your body more alkaline. Because a body, and if you look at our diet today, from processed food, sugary drinks, all the high sugar items, the dairy and everything that we eat, that is highly acidic forming. And the enzymes in the body and all the natural functions and metabolism in the body can only function at optimum pH level. So if it's too acidic, you cannot get optimum functioning. So by eating green fruit and eating herbs that makes the body more alkaline, you are optimizing the function of the body. So we are not just taking something to treat, for instance, to make sure if we have constipation to let the bowel move a little bit quicker, we're actually taking something like basil that will benefit the whole body and therefore balance the function of the liver, the spleen, the digestive system. And on top of that, you will get the benefit of better immune system, feeling better, more energetic, less headaches. So that is how, that is the art of herbalism that makes me so, I get goosebumps when I think about the benefits that we can actually not treat a thing symptomatically and just take a magnesium tablet because we want to have muscular pain. But we actually taking a basil leaf and making basil, raw basil leaves as part of our diet because that is high in magnesium that helps the muscle function, eases spasms, and we get the whole body benefit from the whole plant in all its aspects. So one little simple plant that you can grow in your garden. But the other thing, what is important, you know, when people go to a doctor or physician, then they say, the prescription is take three tablets, or one tablet three times a day. And people will do that and they will make sure they take it. But when I say to them, make sure that once a day you have one bowl of raw salad with raw ingredients. You know how difficult that is for people to do? But that is nature's prescription. That is nature's doctor telling you this is the remedy. And if we can do the mindset change in that aspect, in taking ourselves seriously, our health seriously, and say, once a day I'm going to have a raw meal of raw herbs and vegetables, because we have to, I believe we have to have at least one raw meal or side dish a day to get those enzymes from our food and the probiotics and prebiotics and the fiber and everything else. That is so, so important for that alkaline forming aspect of the body. Many people, when they have a cold and the flu, they can't quite shake it off. But as soon as they start taking more alkaline-forming food into their diet and they get the acidity out of their body, then the body balances and they can get rid of that flu. It is such an important aspect.
Thank you very much. We're going to go for a news break. When we come back, we're going to continue with this fascinating subject. I've got a number of queries coming through. We're going to talk about some of the plants and also some of the tinctures and teas. But thank you very much. I've just, actually blown away. And can we eat? Yes, I don't know. Many of us looking in. I've got a news guy looking at me and saying, I don't think I'm going to eat some of the raw foods. But they don't know what they're missing out. So we'll chat about it when we come back. You take care. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Did you know that gardening is the fastest growing hobby in the world? Islam highly recommends planting trees and urges people to protect them to the extent that planting a tree is considered as an act of worship for which special prayer is recommended. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, unless you are compelled, do not cut down a tree. So join Ismail Pariyava every Sunday between 8:30 and 9:30 a.m. on the program Dare to Be Different.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dare to Be Different, yes, and my name is Ismail Pariyava. Just wonderful to have you tuning in, whether it's by the audio streaming, Midway 1548 in Satellite Islam, and we have beautiful weather on our side of the world, brilliant blue skies, and we have a fantastic guest this morning, as Louis van Asbrechen, talking to us about herbs, and he comes from a nursery called Doing Home Nurseries. We can talk a little bit about that towards the end of the program, and lots happening. Hi, good morning, Louis.
Hi there.
Thank you very much. You know, we're talking and I had a good chuckle as I walked out because everyone's saying, well, are we going to eat raw foods? What raw foods can we eat? Well, I said there's so much that we can enjoy, I think, raw foods. And summer is an excellent time for some of these raw foods. Maybe not winter as much, but definitely in summer. There's so much new spoiled food choices in South Africa.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned raw foods at this stage, because that is mainly for summer when we have to have those cooling aspects. We won't focus on raw fruit in the middle of winter, but it's that cooling effect in the summer heat. We need those raw fruit to cool us down with it. And it's mainly foliage and herbs and vegetables and so on that you can make beautiful fresh salads.
You know, and what comes to mind, someone just said, isn't it very much a Popeye syndrome, you know, where you go to eat raw spinach? I said, don't worry, we won't be like Olive running after you, but definitely would have.
Well, I'm sure there's many people that would like to run around like Popeye. But anyway, for instance, a very simple one to make is, for instance, you take celery, and preferably, again, homegrown celery. And I'm just going to break down the ingredients of this one. It's a very simple combination. Celery, green apple, and coriander. Only those three. It's like a Waldorf salad without the mayonnaise and everything else. So basically what we do is we take the celery that is fantastic in terms of supplying micronutrients, that'll the magnesium and the potassium and the calcium that is very good for a diuretic aspect. And now the beauty about the plants, again, if it acts like a diuretic, it will give you all the properties to balance the body when it takes the water out. So it will give you the potassium and the sodium and the magnesium and the calcium, everything that you require to balance that process. If we just take a allopathic diuretic, then we tend to become deficient in certain minerals and vitamins that we excrete or expel during the diuretic process. But a plant like celery has everything that you need for the process to take place and still stabilize the body. So celery is not only diuretic, it also gives you beautiful and fantastic natural fiber for the digestive system, because the bacteria in the body got to have, in the digestive system, must have some kind of fiber to live on. And the more, the better fiber and natural fiber we have, the better the digestive flora is functioning. And then, of course, it has the chlorophyll aspect, and it has also the for rheumatism and so on, the anti-gout or anti-acidic properties that we spoke about early on. And then on top of that, it is a zero-calorie plant. So that means you actually consume calories by digesting celery. So what a beautiful plant. So that is a simple, common old celery, and preferably the one that you grow in your own garden, not the shop-grown ones. That is for best medicine, and I'm talking about applying it for optimum medicinal properties. So then with that, you add a green apple, although it has a sour taste, it does have an alkalining influence on the body, and it also has a very low GI influence on the sugar level, so it won't spike or give you a high increase in blood sugar levels. And then the third one, coriander, that in itself, or dunya, depends on how people, you know, it goes under different names, how coriander itself has beautiful antispasmodic properties as well, and it's also diuretic, and it strengthens the system in general with high levels of minerals like iron and magnesium and calcium. So the simple coriander, if you have just that salad sprinkled with a little bit of olive oil, and that is all you need, and you can even do olive oil infused with a little bit of rosemary, that'll also be very beneficial. And if you take that as a raw side dish every day, you will be amazed about the benefits that you can get. So that can be a basic thing, and you can add parsley to that. That in itself is also just absolutely fantastic.
Thank you very much. I think you've given us a wonderful recipe to start off with. So it's an apple and celery and coriander, dunya, and you take that and you just infuse it with a little bit, maybe olive oil with rosemary or something, and then that will give you a wonderful side dish. Yeah. I've got a couple of queries that's come through, but before we go on to that one, let's look at the other plant was something called sinna, and I don't know if I'm correct pronouncing it, it's S-E-N-N-A, very much found in the Middle East and so forth. Is it an available herb or not?
Yes, it is. It's very available. I mean, you can buy it anywhere, in any pharmacy, any
bigger
pay health shop and so on. So it's regularly available. The only thing is that people have to be very careful for using it for symptomatic treatment, for constipation. You can use it comfortably for 7 days maximum. Never use any of these herbs to treat symptomatic symptoms for longer than 7 days, because behind the constipation there is another problem. And that is what we need to sort out. We need to sort, at the end of the day, what is causing the constipation. You know that an underactive thyroid can also cause constipation. An underactive spleen or liver can cause constipation, because the liver, by the functioning of the liver creates the optimum environment for bioflora in your digestive system. So that is your first laxative coming from the gallbladder that optimizes your digestive function. So people can use senna, but they must not use it for longer than 7 days, and preferably then after that, then please try and go and see somebody to see what is the cause of it. Now, the way senna works, it's very interesting. It softens the stool. So it actually works on the bacteria that is in the digestive system. It's actually fascinating. It works. It activates the bioflora, that is the bacteria in the digestive system, to absorb and hold more moisture and water in the small intestine, and therefore it helps with the transit through the digestive system as such, and softens the stool at the end of the day. Senna leaves are more potent than the seed. And you can actually, we actually have some senna plants growing in the garden here to show people sometime when they come here what a senna plant looks like. Senna leaves are the most potent when it's taken as a tea, for instance, but you can take it as a tea, as a capsule. Previously, senna, you know, in way back in time when herbalism was still alive and kicking and the main form of therapy, if somebody came to an herbalist, they would actually put them on a senna treatment initially, and they just said it was to open up the system, because you cannot treat the body if it is not able to absorb medicine, or it is able to expel anything that is not supposed to be in the body. It was used for expelling intestinal worms, for instance, as well. It was used for bringing down fevers, for instance. So it had a far wider application than just constipation that people are fixing or putting their minds on at the moment. And then also people say, you know, they take senna for quick weight loss. Remember, that kind of weight loss is very temporary and not real weight loss. It's basically just getting rid of excess water and bodily material. But people must be careful to see that as a solution. It is not. If you want to, I can maybe talk a little bit about how one will handle a digestive situation.
Okay, we've got a couple of minutes. Let's go through that. I've got a couple of queries that have come through. So let's see how far we can go. Louis, go ahead.
Okay. So one way that I would like to do it, so for instance, I have somebody with severe digestive problems. I break it down in four phases. And I say that we are going to look at the situation with four remedies, and each remedy is going to be over a 7 to 10 day period, and preferably a 7 day period. And if the person is so inclined and open to the suggestion, I follow the moon cycles from a new moon to your first phase, full moon, because it has an influence on the functioning of the body. So the first phase, I would give a liver stimulating herb that also benefits the digestive system. And the second phase, for instance, I would, because that is going up to the full moon phase, I look at things that is stimulating, warming and opening up, because we're going into the phase of full moon and a total exposure, but that also benefits the digestive system. Then in the third phase, then I look at things that stimulate the spleen and will help with the lymphatic aspect and link to the digestive. And then only in the fourth phase do I actually give something that is relaxing on the nervous system and the digestive system, because we have to look at in a holistic way at the digestive function. It is not only taking something to quickly have a bulk movement going through the body. So it is a beautiful, and that is the kind of way people must think about taking herbs for a tea. Take it like 7 days at a time and approach it from different aspects.
Thank you very much. I just want to go through the 7 day period. So you look at the first quarter, perhaps, you know, it's for liver. The second one is for opening up, and the third one, the lymphatic, and the fourth one, relaxing. You know, just a nice guide here. So it's a 28 day cycle, and you start the birth of the moon, and you go on until it wax and wanes, and you know, come back, and I think the whole cycle goes through. Thank you very much for that. I've got a couple of queries. Let's go through some of them, and we can go on to the other stuff. When's the best time to plant basil and celery?
Now is the best time for basil and celery, because basil is a warm season plant, and the thing with basil is you've got to plant fresh plants every couple, so once a month, to make sure that you will always have fresh leaf growing. And with sweet basil, the secret about sweet basil is never let it flower. So as soon as you see that little flower spike come out, just pinch it so that you can have side shoots developing for more fresh leaves. And when you harvest the leaves, cut it back to about, you know, cut the stem back to about 10 centimeters above the ground, and that'll have then enough give opportunity for the plant to make new leaves and new branches. Definitely the main thing about celery is plant it, if you can, where it gets morning sun. Because when it's planted in a west-facing, where it gets lit off in very hot sun, it becomes very stringy and very tough. But when it only gets morning sun for about 4 hours, it tends to stay a little bit softer and not very bitter taste. So that is the best way. But celery you can grow right through the year. That is not a problem.
Thank you very much. The next one is, which herb is good for an iron deficiency?
Iron deficiency, you know, the magic bullet there is parsley. You won't believe it, but people must stop buying their multivitamins and you know, and donate it to the municipality. They must plant parsley and eat parsley. Parsley is very high in iron. And the joy about it, it also has the vitamin C equivalent to help with the absorption of the iron in the body. So again, in one plant you have all the things that is necessary. And now the beauty about parsley, it is very beneficial for the digestive system. It nourishes the body, so you can't absorb iron properly if you don't have a digestive system that is functioning properly. That's why I say that iron, those vitamins and minerals, is in full form. It's donated to the municipality in the wastewater at the end of the day. you should rather take parsley and enjoy parsley once a day. That can be part of your raw meal a day. And then you have the chlorophyll and the magnesium and the iron and all those things that is absorbable for the body. And the body can take it up. So that is the best way to get the iron in.
Now, just one question, and I know that I've tried parsley. Parsley is very difficult to grow. Is there a reason for that?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I would have loved to mention that. There's three things that is critical for successful herb growing. And just quickly, the first one, it's got to get direct sunlight and preferably morning sun for about 4 to 5 hours. So direct sunlight, very important. The second thing, it's got to have a good soil, a well-drained soil, and with well-drained, it should have a lot of compost in it. And parsley is one of those that likes to have moist soil. It never wants to dry out, but so it wants its roots in the moisture and its head in the sun, then it's at its happiest. And then the third aspect, you've got to give an organic fertilizer once a month, especially parsley. Because we call it the multivitamin and mineral of nature, you know it's got to get it from somewhere. So you're going to make sure that you give that in the form of organic fertilizer that is slow release, it adds beneficial properties to the soil, and it is just very good for the environment. By the way, we grow all our herbs under the Healthy Living Herb range organically, and we use an organic fertilizer to grow our plants.
Thank you very much. I knew this one is coming. Various teas that you find in the supermarket shelves, do they have medicinal benefits and how to use them? The various teas that you find on the supermarket shelves, do they have any medicinal benefits? You have lots of these, you know, herbal teas that they come on. And
I always say it's good for entertainment. it's good to sit down and have, because drying herbs only have a one here, and we're talking about healing the body with herbs now. That is the level that we're talking about now. Dry herbs only have a one-year lifespan. After that, it starts deteriorating and it's not beneficial. So if you, you know, any of the herbs that you could buy off the shelf in tea herbs, you can drink it. It is lovely. It gives you some benefits. I will never recommend somebody to drink that from a healing point of view. But it is a good alternative if you want to get away from coffee and so on, and at least you get some benefits from it.
Okay, the difference between, I beg your pardon, how do you make a tea? We have to make a natural tea. Is it different from a tincture? Just tell us some of the, we have a couple of minutes for you to go through. Tell us, how would you make tea naturally?
Okay, a good cup of herbal tea, doesn't matter the size of the tea, it's got to be, if you use fresh herbs, it must be a quarter of fresh herbs in the cup, and then you fill the cup up with hot water. You never boil the herbs on, so you just add the hot water and let it steep for 10 to 15 minutes and then you enjoy it. If you use dried herbs, then it is one teaspoon in a cup of hot water. A tincture is a whole different story, and you can make a tincture by using apple cider vinegar. Many companies use alcohol, but an alternative will be apple cider vinegar, because that absorbs all the fat-soluble and water-soluble part of the plant. And that is, these methodologies, it's a bit of a process to explain, but at the end of the day, you just steep it in apple cider vinegar for about 2 weeks, strain it, and then that you will use about 5 milliliters in some water of that tincture.
Thank you very much. You know, we spoke about stevia earlier on. What is the best way, and how do we maximize the use of stevia? I've got stevia plant growing.
Stevia you can use either fresh as it is, or if you want to harvest it, you wait till it comes into flower. It makes a little white flower. So when it starts flowering, you harvest the leaves. You dry it in a cool area of on a rack, just so it dries out naturally. And then you can make it into a powder, and you can use the powder. But so that is, we keep it natural. We keep it as close as possible to the natural form, and either fresh or dehydrated.
If you're using it fresh, it's just one leaf per cup, or how do you do that?
One leaf, you will be amazed about how sweet it is. One leaf is normally more than enough, because when people cut out sugar from their diet and in their coffees and their teas, their palate becomes more sensitive, and therefore one leaf is mostly more than enough. An interesting thing, just talking about taste, if you can't sense all the different tastes of sour, sweet, and very clearly, then it means you have a deficient spleen function. Because sometimes people don't realize that if they don't have an optimum taste sensation, then actually you must ask your health practitioner to look at your spleen function.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we cannot continue very much longer, but I want you to share some of the information that you have. You're having a very big happening that's happening on the 30th, 31st, and 1st of November. It's called the Herb Happening. Tell us something about that.
We are so excited. We're having it now. We haven't had it for 5 years, And due to popular demand, we have decided to open it up again, because normally the nursery, we are a wholesale nursery and we're not open to the public. People can normally only come and visit our gardens and so on when by invitation or on open days. So we have opened the gardens. We have added new gardens. We've got fantastic speakers. We have a big marquee with herbal products and, of course, experts that will explain their products. We'll have some normal herbal plants and exceptional herbal plants for sale. And the most important, we have all the different gardens that people can walk through. We have the spiral herb garden that is a fascinating aspect in itself. There will be walks and talks that people will walk you through it. We have four lecturers over the weekend as well. So there's a lot happening over the 3 days, all herb-related, and we are very excited to have it again.
And it's open to the public. Can you just give us some sort of indication as to where it is?
It's open to the public. It is in the Midrand area, so it is just off the N1 on the Olifantsfontein off-ramp. So very, very easy and accessible from the two highways, the Krugersdorp Highway and the N1 Highway. We basically between Joburg and Pretoria, so Pretoria area Centurion, so that is easily accessible.
So it's called the Herb Farm, plot 264 Summit Road, Midrand.
That's correct. It's also known as the R562. The R562. We're on the R562.
What I'm going to do is, if you allow us, I'm going to put this information onto our website as well, so I could share it with all our listeners if they're wanting the information and so forth. We can then put it on there, and they could then download it. What I also found interesting, and just before we round off now, is you've got a fantastic Herbs website called Doing Home Nurseries, and in there you've got an alphabetic list of herbs from A going to right up to Z, and it's got the different plant ranges and what you can be used and so forth. Tell something about that before you conclude.
Thank you. Yes, it's called Dunome is the company, and then we have the website healthyliving herbs.co.za, and there we have everything to do with herbs. So what we spoke about this morning, how to make a tincture, how to make a tea. If you click on basil, you see the different basils. It's all about education, growing and using homegrown herbs and getting the benefits from that. And on the website itself, people will also have a map of how to get to the herbal happening as well, so that will also help people.
So I'm going to put that link onto that. Is that fine?
I will greatly appreciate it. That'll be lovely.
You take care. Thank you very much, Lou. I think it's highly informative. I've learned so much, and I'm sure our listeners have. And I'm hoping to have some lovely, I don't know, Mohammed Sukumis, are you going to have that raw salad? Yes, I had. I think I'm going to try definitely with the celery and the apple and the coriander. I think that'd be a lovely start. And to all of you out there, I think you should have try some of the alternatives. I think eating of raw foods does help our bodies, and it is something that we should be trying. Thank you very much. You take care, Louis. Thanks a million, and you have a splendid weekend. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. That was Louis from Doing Home telling us about the different use of herbs. I must say, fascinating subject. And to those of you who want wholesome healing, that's a wonderful experience, and you should try it. Many of us are saying, well, are we going to try it? Mohammed says, well, I think we should be trying. And that's all for me. Until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.